We read God's Word this morning in Proverbs 31. We'll be reading verses 10 through 31. We find here that well-known description of the virtuous woman. Notice in verse 1, we read that these are the words of King Lemuel. And I find it interesting, the prophecy that his mother gave him. His mother taught him. The words, of course, are inspired by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit used his mother to teach him about the virtuous woman. Let's read verses 10 through 31. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth up her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Thus far we read the Word of God. The text we consider is actually in chapter 12 and verse 4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Who, beloved, can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Oh, how rare! And oh, how precious is a virtuous woman. She is much to be desired. She's a diamond in the rough. She's a beautiful woman to behold, but hard to be found. Who can find a virtuous woman? That's the question King Lemuel asks in the passage that we read. Who can find one? She's hard to be found. That was true in Solomon's day, who wrote the words of our text. That was true in King Lemuel's day, and that is certainly true today. Who can find a virtuous woman in the modern world in which we live? I mean to say, beloved, who can find a virtuous woman who is virtuous according to the standard of the Bible? And I mean, Who can find such a virtuous woman among the women of the world? And who can find such virtuous women in the church world also? Especially now, the apostate church and the apostatizing church of our day. Who can find a virtuous woman? She is hard to be found. Oh, how precious is a virtuous woman. Among the women of Western society today, we find many, many women who know nothing about the virtuous woman of the Scriptures. We find not only the vile temptress who ceases not to seduce men to commit adultery with her, the strange woman about whom Solomon speaks earlier in this book, the strange woman found on the internet, found at the office, found on the television, found in the magazines. Not only do we find the vile temptress in our society, but we also find many intelligent and sophisticated women who have an egalitarian philosophy of the genders. Now households have dual incomes in which both mother and father go to work and the children are placed in daycare. Now we have in the church men and women in the office of minister, elder, and deacon. Now women are said to have equal status with men in the church and in the home. Now, a husband who affirms headship over his wife is labeled a male chauvinist. This is the world in which we live today. Oh, how precious! Oh, how rare is the virtuous woman of the Scripture. All of that, beloved, is true in the world. And it is also true increasingly in the church world, the false church and the apostatizing church, but that can also creep into the thinking of the women of the true church. It can creep into our thinking, and it can creep into our practice. Oh, how precious is the virtuous woman. I bring this text to you this morning, beloved, not because I have heard something about your congregation, about the women of your congregation, and I feel the need to bring some kind of sharp rebuke to you, nor would that even be my place, since I'm not your pastor, and I don't even know the women of this congregation very well, although I know some of you. That's not my purpose this morning, to bring a sharp rebuke to the women of the church, nor was that my purpose when I preached the text originally at Holland. But my purpose is to encourage the women of our church and of your church to be and to continue to be the virtuous woman found described in the Scriptures. That's my purpose, to encourage you. I assume that you are virtuous women. If I knew you better, perhaps I would tell you so from experience. You are virtuous women. Certainly you are, as Christian women, virtuous women. My purpose this morning is to encourage you and to urge you. There's urgency here. Great urgency. The philosophy of egalitarianism is found everywhere. Everywhere. And the practice which follows it. Equality between male and female in regard to rights and authority in church and home. There is urgency that we hear and are encouraged to be virtuous women. The text applies primarily to married women. I have to say that because, as you can see from the text, it's describing the relationship between a wife and her husband. Nevertheless, there's much here for all of you single women as well, and you young ladies. Perhaps you will be married one day, and even if you are never married, You too must be virtuous women. And therefore I begin this morning by addressing you concerning the virtuous bride of Christ. I take as my theme, the virtuous woman, oh how precious. We notice first the virtuous bride of Christ. Secondly, the virtuous Christian woman. Finally, her preciousness to her husband. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. That's what Solomon writes in our text. She is a crown to her husband. Now, by that statement, Solomon makes reference to the relationship of a Christian woman to her Christian husband. He makes reference to that relationship of marriage, of Christian marriage. And as you well know, in Scripture, the relationship of marriage is a picture. A picture of the relationship of God's covenant between Himself and His people in Jesus Christ. And so we find, for example, in Jeremiah 3, verse 14, the prophet declares to the church found in Judah, "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married to you." And so we find also in Ephesians 5, verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." That relationship of marriage to which Solomon makes reference in our text is a picture of the deeper relationship of the covenant between God and His church in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we may begin this morning by asking, who or what is the virtuous bride of Christ? Who and what is that virtuous bride of Christ? And she is surely the true church of Christ, found in the midst of the world, who knows her Savior intimately, who loves Him deeply, and who is faithful to Him in life and in death. That's the bride of Christ. She is the church in the world who knows her husband and knows Him intimately, and not only knows Him, but is deeply affected by His love for her. That first of all, she knows her husband. And mind you, that means, first of all, that she knows herself. The virtuous bride of Christ is the church who knows that she is sinful and corrupt. She knows that she is spiritually depraved by nature. The bride of Christ knows that she in herself is ugly beyond description. She knows that she is completely unworthy to be the bride and the wife of Jesus Christ. She knows that she is not a bride who could wear a white gown at her wedding, because she knows that she has soiled herself with her sins and corruptions and pollutions. She knows that she is completely unworthy. She knows that about herself. The bride of Christ does. She does that not merely know that in her head, but she believes that in her heart, and she is humbled by the knowledge of her own unworthiness, her own depraved and corrupt nature. But that's not all she knows. She also knows that nevertheless, she was chosen before the foundation of the world to be the bride of Christ. She knows that too. She does not deserve it, but she was chosen, and she knows she was chosen to be the bride of Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, apart from all other men. She knows the love of her husband for her. She knows that love. She knows that he loves her. She knows that. She knows that God loved her so thoroughly from before the foundation of the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world to become man, to walk the path of humiliation and suffering, to be filled with reproach and scorn, hatred and mockery, all of which would culminate at the cross of Calvary. She knows the love of God for her, and she knows the love of her husband. She knows the love of Christ for her. She knows that he left his heavenly abode and came into the earth, that he became a man, that he willingly subjected himself to suffering and reproach. She knows that her husband loves her because he gave himself for her. He gave himself for her to the death of the cross. He gave up his life, and she knows that. She knows it. She knows that he heaped upon himself all of her sins and all of her guilt and all of her corruption, and that with his blood he cleansed her. She knows that it was he who sent his Spirit into her and purified her and cleansed her of her ugliness, of her corruption, of her pollutions, and made her a glorious and beautiful bride without spot or blemish. That she knows. That you know, don't you, beloved? That you know about Jesus Christ. You know the love. You know the love of your husband for you. And every wife must know the love of her husband for her. She must know that love. And knowing that love, she is deeply affected by that love. Deeply affected. In the innermost part of her heart and soul, she is deeply affected. She longs to give herself to her husband. She is so deeply affected that she is filled from the depths of her heart such that it overflows to the brim of her being with gratitude and thankfulness to her heavenly husband who died for her and who comes again for her to establish his wedding with her forever. Knowing this about her husband, the bride of Christ is virtuous. Is she not? Virtuous. The bride of Christ strives not to make her husband ashamed. She will not be one who maketh ashamed. She longs and she strives to live her life in such a way that shame is not brought upon the name of her husband, Jesus Christ. She longs not to bring reproach upon his name by her actions, by her sinful and foolish actions, by her worldly behavior, by her carnal mind. She longs and strives not to dishonor her husband, not to displease her husband, and not to earn the disfavor of her husband. You do. The bride of Christ does. And she is a virtuous woman. Virtuous. She longs and strives to be virtuous for her husband. She does not rebel against him, but she submits to him in all of her life, in every sphere of life, absolutely, All of us, the bride of Christ on the earth, men and women alike, young and old. As the bride of Christ, we submit absolutely to Jesus Christ. Now, that's not true of earthly marriage. A wife in earthly marriage does not submit absolutely to her husband. She submits absolutely to Christ. And she submits to her husband for Christ's sake. But the church submits absolutely to Christ in every area of life, in the home, in the church, in society, in the workplace, on vacation, at play. Yes, on vacation too, it's summertime. Vacation is not vacation from being the bride of Christ. Never, never a vacation from that. Never a time to go and get drunk. Never a time to go and live like the world. Never a time to allow ourselves to betray our husband. Never a time to forsake him. Always a time to deny ourselves. Always a time to take up our cross. Always a time to follow him. The bride of Christ is virtuous. She abounds in good works. She abounds in charity. She abounds in a thankful lifestyle. She abounds in good works. She abounds in service. She feeds the hungry. She clothes the naked. She visits the widows and the orphans in their affliction. The virtuous bride of Christ does. She stretches out her hands to the needy and to the poor, providing them with their needs. And the virtuous bride of Christ, beloved, is faithful. Faithful to her husband. Oh, what a faithful bride she is. In herself? No. Unfaithful. But by virtue of God's grace, faithful. She never, never looks at other gods. She never once considers divorcing the Lord Jesus Christ in favor of some other god, whether that god be money or power or honor or pleasure. Never does she follow other gods, but is faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. She joyfully confesses His name in the world. She boldly defends His truth. She will not tolerate lies about her Lord and her husband in heaven, but she takes her stand for the truth, the virtuous bride of Christ. She is faithful to her husband in life and death to the very end. In short, beloved, she lives her whole life striving to obey her Lord and her husband. That is the virtuous church, the virtuous bride. Now on that basis, we may now ask, what then is the virtuous woman? What is the virtuous Christian woman? And in general, we may say that she is a woman of noble character, a woman of admirable qualities, a woman with a good and right attitude about herself, about her husband, about her children, toward her fellow saints. But fundamentally, a virtuous woman is one who does not model her behavior after the women of the world, but after the will of God in Scripture. That's all. That's all. A virtuous woman is one who patterns her life and her behavior after the will of God and the will of her husband Jesus Christ as found in the Scripture. That's all. She does not model her behavior after the women of the world. Not the women in the magazines at the checkout lane. Not the women in the worldly novels. Not the women on the television and in the movies. Not those women. She doesn't listen to the philosophy of the women of our age. But she models her behavior after
the will of God, because she views the Scriptures as the Word of God, holy and inspired and infallible, the will of her God. A virtuous woman is like a virtuous man. Both virtuous men and virtuous women want to live their lives for Jesus. That's all. That's all. Men doing what they are called to do. Women calling, doing what they are called to do. That is a virtuous woman. And why do we long to do that? Because we know the love of our husband, don't you? Because we know the love of Christ, don't you? That's why. It's on that basis. That's why we began there this morning. That's first. That's fundamental. If you know the love of Christ for you, how can you live otherwise than in gratitude? But let us be more specific this morning. A virtuous woman, first of all, is a strong woman. Make no mistake. The Hebrew word for virtuous in our text comes from a verb that means to be strong. To be strong. The Bible does not praise weak women. But the Bible praises strong women. The strong woman is a crown to her husband. But do not misunderstand, not strong in the physical sense of the word. Just as the Bible does not praise men for being strong in the physical sense, nor strong in this sense of being strong-willed in the bad sense of the word. Not that either. Not strong-willed in the bad sense of the word. That is, not a woman who insists on her way or the highway. Not a woman who refuses to admit when she is wrong, but stubbornly maintains that she is always right. Not a woman who refuses to submit to her husband. Not a woman who rules the roost of the home and who insists on wearing the pants, as we say. Not that. Not a woman who is self-willed, but a woman who is strong spiritually. That's the kind of strength God wants in men and women. Spiritual strength, spiritually strong, strong in the Lord, strong in faith, strong in godliness, strong to do the will of Jesus Christ, strong to follow His calling in the Scripture. That kind of woman, first of all, she is a woman who is strong to submit to her husband. See? Even in the midst of a world which will mock her and ridicule her for doing so. That takes strength. Doesn't it? Can't you see that, men? That takes strength in your wife and in the women of the church. Strength. The women of the world will say, why are you don't need to submit to your husband. You and your husband are equal. You don't need to be subject to him. You don't have to reverence him. You don't have to honor and respect him. But the virtuous woman says no to the women of the world. She is strong, even in the midst of hatred and mockery, reproach and ridicule of the worldly women. Strong to submit to her husband for Christ's sake in all lawful things. No, that does not mean to submit to him when he leads her down the path of sin. No. And husbands, don't you dare lead your wives down the path of sin. Some husbands do. And we all fall short, don't we? And if we lead them down the path of sin, we ought to expect our strong wives to rebuke us for our sin. Yes, yes. But they are strong. The virtuous Christian woman is strong to submit to her husband in all lawful things. Secondly, she is a woman of action. A woman of virtue. That's how she is described in the chapter that we read.
in Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman is a woman of action. The virtuous woman is the queen of the castle. The queen of the castle. But she is not like many worldly queens who are idle and lazy, who expect to be waited on hand and foot, who expect palm branches waved in their faces and grapes fed to them as they lazily sit on their throne. But the virtuous Christian woman is an active queen, a busy queen, a queen who is always at work. That's evident from the chapter that we read. Verse 12 says, she will do good to her husband and not evil all the days of her life. Verse 13, she clothes her family with wool and flax. Verses 14 and 15, she makes sure that there is food on the table for her husband and for her children and even for her maidens and even in the middle of the night. Verse 16, she goes shopping and she purchases needful things. Verse 17, she develops strong arms and strong hands by her hard work. Verse 18 indicates that she is frugal and economical. She is wise and careful in her expenditures. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good before she buys it. Verse 19 indicates that she is skilled and clever in practical matters. Skilled and clever in practical things. Verse 20, she not only is concerned about her own husband and her own children and her own home, but she also looks outward and she stretches out her hands to the poor, provides for the needy. Verse 21 indicates that she is not quickly afraid. She is not fearful of troubles. She is not afraid of bad weather because she is prepared. Her family is clothed in scarlet. Verses 22 and following indicates that she even seeks ways to help her husband make ends meet. That too. Verse 22 says she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Verse 24, she maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She even finds ways to help her husband make ends meet, but all the while still fulfilling her other household duties. That's clear too from the text. It's not that a woman may never help her husband make ends meet, but only when she's also done all her other household duties, according to the passage. Verse 26 says that she opens her mouth and speaks wisdom to her children and words of kindness too. Oh, how precious is the virtuous woman. Her opposite is also described in the text. A woman who maketh ashamed. A woman who makes ashamed is one who acts shamefully and therefore brings shame upon herself, her husband, her parents, her children, and all her loved ones. A woman who maketh ashamed is a woman who does not model her behavior after the will of God in the Scriptures, but who models her behavior after the women of the world. She reads about them in the magazines and in the novels, and sees them how they act on the television. And she models her behavior after them. Her speech is modeled after them. Her actions and all of her choices. Her attitude toward her husband is modeled after those women. Those women who cut down their husband on the television. Those women who disrespect their husband in private and in public. She models her behavior after them. She acts in a foolish and wicked manner. She may be strong-willed in the bad sense of the word, not in the good sense, but in the bad sense,
self-willed. Self-willed. A will for self and only self.
That kind of woman maketh ashamed. She's a woman who does not care what her husband thinks, does not care what her husband wants, does not care what her children need, does not care, does not. She neglects her children. She sets a bad example for her children. She teaches them a bad example. She teaches them foolishness and wickedness. She maketh ashamed. She lives however she pleases. She is lazy and idle. She is a backbiter, a busybody, and a gossip. She is selfish and rude. The woman who makes ashamed. And that is precisely what she does by her action. She makes ashamed. She makes her husband ashamed to be her husband. She makes her children ashamed to be her children. She makes her parents ashamed to be her parents. And she makes Christ ashamed to be her Lord. But she does not care. She does not care. Such a woman is as rottenness in the bones of her husband. Oh, how precious and oh, how rare is the virtuous woman in the world today. I encourage you women to be virtuous. You are virtuous. You're godly women, women of faith, not perfect women. And we are not perfect men. And husbands, we do not love our wives perfectly as we ought to. Of course not. We're still in the world. We still have our old man of sin. We still have our flesh. But strive to be virtuous women, more and more. That for you is the life of sanctification, becoming more and more virtuous woman, not a woman who maketh ashamed. So the virtuous woman, beloved, is precious to her husband. Precious. She is a crown to him. A crown is a precious thing. A crown is made of precious materials. On the other hand, the woman who maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. What an awful thing to be. Rottenness in someone's bones. Rottenness is decay, dissolution, disintegration. What is meant by the text? The text could mean that just as rottenness in the bones is a deep, deep internal breakdown of a man's body and life, it is. Imagine if your bones were decaying. No, imagine that inside your bones there was decay, rottenness, disintegration. That is as deep as you can go inside of your body. Inside your bones, there is dissolving, decaying, and destruction. That is the destruction of a man's life from inside out. From deep, deep, deep within himself, outward. A woman who maketh ashamed is like that. A wife is the closest companion of a husband. She's one on the inside of his life. She's part of his closest inner circle. No one knows him better. But a woman who maketh ashamed is like rottenness in his bones. She is like the internal breakdown of his whole life, of his home, of his marriage. Not just his marriage, but their marriage. By her actions, she results in the decay and dissolution and disintegration of the home, the family, and the marriage. That may be the meaning of the text. Or the text could simply mean this. Rottenness in the bones represents a deep internal
pain, agony, suffering. A woman who maketh ashamed may not even know it, but she results in the deep internal agony, pain, and ache of her husband. He feels trapped in his marriage. He feels lost in his life. He does not know where to turn and where to go. He feels that his life is dissolving and being destroyed. And he feels a deep agony. And that works both ways, beloved. A husband who makes his wife ashamed does that to her. Don't you forget it. Don't you husbands go home pointing the finger at your wife. Mm-mm. A husband who makes ashamed is as rottenness in the bones of his wife. It goes both ways. But a virtuous woman is the crown of her husband. A crown of her husband. A precious thing to him. Think of a crown. A crown is the symbol of authority. The symbol of honor, which belongs to a king. That's precious to a king. Precious to him. He must not lose his crown. He must not lose it. He needs that crown. That crown represents his glory, his honor, his power, and his authority in his realm. His crown is precious to him, not only because it is made of gold and emeralds, diamonds and rubies, but because it represents his honor, his name, his reputation, and his authority. A virtuous woman, she is the crown of her husband, not the voluptuous woman. Not the voluptuous woman is the crown of her husband. Oh, that's true of some men in the world. They marry a physically attractive woman, and they speak about their trophy wife. By which they mean their physically attractive wife who boosts their proud ego in front of their fellow men. And he brags and boasts about his wife as his crown, his voluptuous wife. But the Scripture teaches otherwise. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. That's for you, men. That's for you, young men, especially. Oh, is that for you, young men? Not the voluptuous woman is the crown of her husband, but the virtuous woman. And if you do not learn that before you get married, you will learn it after. Beauty and favor are deceitful. But a woman who feareth the Lord, that's what you need, and that's what you want. That's all you need. That's all you need. Oh, I'm not denying that there must be some physical attraction. That's true. That's true. There must be some physical attraction. And that's important. But that's not the primary thing. That's not the important thing. It's not. Not just the physical attraction. That may be the first thing, but it's not the primary thing. You know, a young man died last week. The father of that young man told me to use this for the young people. He said that to me. Use this for the young people. How do I use that for the young people? I don't know. Except this, that what a reminder to us that young men can fall. Young men. I'm a young man. You're a young man. You young men. You can fall. You can die. What is most important in your life? What's most important? As you seek a wife, what's most important? The physical, the earthly, the material, the visible, or a woman who feareth the Lord? What's most important?
Yes, physical attraction, that's necessary. But not at the expense of the other. Not at the expense of the other. See that? You need a woman who fears the Lord. That first. Be so careful. Be so careful. Not the voluptuous woman. The virtuous woman is the crown of her husband. And notice too, she is the crown. The King James says a crown. That's not quite accurate. The crown. She is the crown of her husband. She's not a crown. She is not just one of many crowns which he possesses. It's not as though he has in his study a bunch of crowns on the wall. There are his golf clubs, and there is his bow and his gun, and there is his pickup truck, and there is his camper and his boat, and there are his buddies and his friends. Oh, and there's his wife too. She's one of his crowns. No, she is the crown. The crown of her husband. The most precious thing to him in all of the world. Most precious. She is and she must be. The most precious under God. The most precious under Christ. The most precious under the kingdom of Jesus Christ is a man's wife. Nothing more precious. Nothing. That's why a wife, a virtuous wife, is cherished by her husband more than life itself. And he's willing to die for her. He's willing to give his life for her as Jesus gave his life for the church. He loves his wife with all his heart and soul and mind. She is so dear to him. And that, women, is your incentive. That's your incentive. We're talking about relationships here. And relationships are reciprocal. A husband who does not love his wife must not expect his wife to love him. She should, she must, but he must not expect it. But it's also true that a woman who maketh ashamed must not expect her husband to view her as his crown. But the virtuous woman, she is the crown of her husband. She is. And may she be, to you men, to you husbands, may she be your crown. May you view her as your crown. What an incentive to us as the bride of Christ. What an incentive. There are churches in the world that make him ashamed. They are apostate. They are false churches. They are unfaithful to Christ. They are not standing in the truth. They do not care if lies are spoken and taught about him. But the virtuous bride of Christ, the faithful bride, she is the crown of Jesus Christ. You, beloved, as a faithful church, are the crown of Christ. You are precious to him. So precious. He gave his life for you. He's coming again for you. He will take you to himself forever and ever. May that day come quickly. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee that we are the bride of Christ. We thank thee for giving to each of us a place in that church as men and as women. Grant, Heavenly Father, we might fulfill our callings as men to love our wives, to view them as our crown, and as women to be virtuous. We pray thou wilt apply this word to our hearts. Comfort us in our afflictions. Point us to the cross and to our hope in Christ alone. Amen.